across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, guys, you're entering my realm. You don't know it, but you've gotten there. This is a realm where the carpet is pulled out from underneath you with every step. This is something I know all too well. And I want to thank those that have come over to freemantv.com and subscribed. Because as you see, YouTube demonetizing, censoring, people being cashed out, left and right, you're going to lose your information without supporting the shows that you love. And so the members that have supported this show for so many years, I have to just give them the biggest thank you and let them know that they have saved this show. Because certainly I was kicked off Facebook 6 years ago. I was demonetized from YouTube 5 years ago. This show would have ended long ago if it weren't for listeners' support. So thank you all so much for keeping this going. But if there's one thing I know very well, it is how to survive having the carpet pulled out from underneath you, being in the exact situation that you are all in now. I know this well. How to get out of this? I don't know so well. I've made it. I've done it. I can't exactly tell you how to do it. So I have invited the legendary, the true visionary, Sonia Barrett, to join us here today on the Free Zone to try to sort this situation out as we battle with this material versus spiritual, as we battle with our physical versus emotional. We need a person, a visual leader like Sonia Barrett. She's the executive producer of the award-winning documentary, The Business of Disease. She knows what she's talking about. She's the host and producer of the radio show, The Expansion Zone, with Sonia Barrett. And you can get this live in Los Angeles on KPFK 90.7. She's known for her cutting-edge insights, with much of it supported by quantum physics, theoretical physics, just bringing her out as a true mystic. So we're going to bridge this gap between science and spirituality, start to find a simplified format and bring this all together. So please welcome to the Free Zone, the natural science of the path inward, Sonia Barrett. Hey, welcome to the Free Zone.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that intro. I am happy to be in the Free Zone because that's where I live, in the Free Zone.
Isn't that right? This is kind of like, everybody, welcome to our pool. It's comfortable in here. It's all right. And we're going to share with you how it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We live in what some might say on the edge, but not really. You know, we're just, we're embracing the truth of who we are. I think that's the bottom line of it. And not so much what the external forces, the external world, the external producers are telling us what our vision of reality should be.
Yes. Yes. And without a doubt, you need to leap out to start to realize that the universe actually is working in your favor. If you have the right mindset, if you can get along, like right now, a lot of people are trying to learn how to get along. They are confined with people for 24/7. That's not an easy thing. This is something I've had to do for most of my adult life because I live on people's couches, right? For most of my career, for 10 years of the Free Zone, Freeman Perspective, the TV show, the conferences, the lectures, all of the things that I've done, I didn't get paid. I didn't get paid anything for 10 years. It wasn't until just recently I started the member section and started getting supported. So I have lived just from couch to couch, from home to home, from place to place, never knowing anything in the future, never having any idea where the next meal was coming from, where I was going to sleep, what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. But I just kept going. And right. I found that the universe just kept providing. Mm-hmm. And it was magical. It was mystical. It was amazing. It was the most important thing that I could tell the world, like, oh my God, you guys, if you don't have a plan, the plan's even better.
Right, right. Well, people are afraid of, you know, the unknown and, of course, the illusion of security, which is what people are dealing with. They're faced with that now because all the things that have been in, you know, what maybe in their mind, a secure source of income and of maintaining life is suddenly up in the air and feeling like the rug's being pulled from under them. Not everybody's gonna get, you know, a stimulus pack or is going to get, whatever the compensation is for various reasons. You have people that are not completely in the system. They're not paying taxes. So there's a lot of factors involved here as to why people might be feeling like the unknown is right here and I don't know what to do. However, for me, I do feel that it is a time of the individual, of everybody really getting in touch with the truth of who they are, what they want, what life really has been for them, what their belief structure has been, what the governmental structure really is. There's so many avenues, so many angles that need to be looked at. And I had written an article just a couple of weeks ago called The Ushering In of a New Ordered World, a time of resets and upgrades in the system. So that's what's going on. There's actual resets and upgrades going on in the matrix itself and the 3D aspect. And then there's also the same resets and upgrades going on in each person, according to what we are allowing ourselves to see.
Because when you say the reset, we're talking about the idea that oil's below zero and we are moving from a petrodollar to this new technocratic system. Is that the reset on the physical side?
Oh, God, there's resets are so many.
Right,
so
okay.
Many things right. That
See,
are
that's
going
a
on.
Great opportunity.
Yeah,
this, right?
it's a great opportunity, but the reset in the sense of the system, if we talk about the system, the matrix, when I'm saying the matrix, I'm just talking from the 3D standpoint, the physical part of it, the part that is governed by a board of people, as we see like the presidents of all countries and that whole governmental construct, corporations, religious constructs, educational constructs, all of those things that, all of those systems, I should say, that shape our world, that shape us from birth on, all of those constructs are definitely changing. In the sense of technology, we know that we've been in full swing in technology, but at the same time, we're realizing that right now, technology is stepping up even more in terms of what we're now forced to do, which is to go online. Everybody is now in this virtual space, and that's just the beginning in terms of our interaction with virtual reality. But we are online. Everything's going online. In many different ways, everything's going online, and we are forced to grapple with the change in our digital system, our currency, and health. There's just a lot that's coming at people all at once. This does not mean that it is a good or bad thing. And I think we need to step away from that model. Otherwise, you can't really see. What you're doing is you have to remove the filters and that you have of just what's being done to you. So you can actually see. When you can see, then you can make different choices. You can navigate much better around things. And plus you're more connected with that part of yourself that really supersedes all of these 3D behaviors and control systems that are in place.
Right. You might even start to think you're psychic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Because you are, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are tuned in. We are on a bigger internet. And that's the thing that people need to realize, that everything in our world, technology as we see it, everything is just replicating a construct that is there that makes everything operate, from the, you know, the planets, the way our planet works through all these cycles. It's a massive internet system that goes even beyond that in terms of just our own connection to something, to a system, a construct, a source that is even bigger. And so we model ideas of technology based on these same constructs. We're just creating mini versions of something that is way beyond our ability to even, you know, quantify the vastness of, you know, cosmic technology.
Yes, our interconnectedness without the use of the World Wide Web.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're part of it.
You'll find yourself in lockstep, you know, then to use one of their terms, lockstep.
Yeah.
You will find yourself in that, like, where the universe is actually just putting the steps right in front of you, and you don't see them until you've stepped on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing thing. It's one of the hardest things to convince people of, because you have to experience it to believe it, and you have to believe it to experience it. So,
and you have to be able to step away from the fear. You have to be able to take a break.
Yes.
From the fear, in order to even experience it, to really go within. And I think people have to come to an honest state too of their. Some people are addicted to hearing what we would call maybe the negative or the bad news. They just want to hear about all the things that's being done to them.
Yeah.
And you have to come to that space where you're realizing, okay, so what am I doing with this information? Okay, so now that I know all of this, how do I organize my life? How do I activate myself? How do I really tap in to that part of me that supersedes all of this? And I think this is what people need to understand. This is where we are going. This is the part that we have to do. We are doing the same thing to some degree. We are doing that kind of upgrade with ourselves, and these systems in place are doing their own upgrades. And that's what we're dealing with right now. That's what we're seeing.
Right. Which is an opportunity. But if we chase the villain, if we seek justice, then you also seek an authority to enforce that justice. So absolutely. If you're learning all of this nefarious information about Dr. Fauci and his reports and the mishandled numbers, the vaccinations, Bill Gates, 5G, on and on, tracking, surveillance, and you're looking for the villain, who released the virus, who's to blame, then all that happens is you create a new authoritarian system, and your seeking of justice will then just bring an overlord on top of you. The reason to learn the nefarious deeds of our overlords is actually so that you can slough them off. You can say, you know, I don't need these guys.
Right.
Like we could completely live without this. And obviously they're a bunch of lying, nefarious, evil people. So
yeah,
but then,
and that's okay, their role.
Yeah, well, we go back to 1939 with H.G. Wells, and he had a book called The New World Order, and we're going to get into A New Ordered World is the title of Sonia's article, folks. A New Ordered World, but ordered by who, right? If it's us, then it's great. But now H.G. Wells, back in 1939 when he wrote The New World Order, he says, when the struggle seems to be drifting definitely towards a world social democracy, there may still be very great delays and disappointments before it ever becomes an efficient and beneficent world system. Countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. When we attempt to evaluate its promise, we have to bear in mind the distress of a generation or so of malcontents, many of them quite gallant and graceful looking people. So the new ordering of the world is something we all want, but we're in this challenge between the physical power versus the emotional power. We are seeking noble reasons like the Constitution and things of this. We want freedom, but from what? Is
right.
it from our overbearing ruling bodies, or is it our own beliefs?
Well, that's just it, because freedom has been defined for us. And that's what folks, you know, a lot of folks don't realize. What many people's concept of freedom is something that has already been, you know, sort of presented to our minds as to what freedom actually looks like. So I think people aren't even sure exactly what that means for them, because a level of freedom without the control or interference of these governing systems, not everybody feels like they're ready to deal with that. They say that they are, but the minute they have to make choices, certain choices for themselves, it becomes challenging, because it's a responsibility. So, you know thyself, and to be able to come into that space, to be able to step into that space, is huge. When we say know thyself, it sounds like a little tiny statement, but it is a huge, huge statement, because only when we can come to that place of really knowing ourselves can we tell the truth about our lives. Only then can we tell the truth about what we believe, what we want, that is not attached to social programming. Social programming is the most influential collective experience that we have. And it's so subtle that often we don't even identify that that's what we're doing, that we really are being, I don't want to use the word control, but to some degree, yes, by these social expectations and this prescription for living. So what does freedom mean to you? And that's what that person has to sit and look at. What does that mean? And it's not about just, well, if I had a lot of money, that's the program. That's the program. You have to look really at, do I know what freedom is? Am I free right now? And if you say no, then you need to identify what these things are that you feel is restricting you, because freedom, the opposite of that is restriction and limitations. A lot of that imposition, a lot of that has been going on in people's lives, people's minds, people's thinking on a very mass scale. So I think that kind of evaluation has to happen in order to understand what you want, because freedom for me might be different, you know, than freedom for you. The things that I say will make me free might scare you. You know what I mean, Freeman? You know, so yeah. It's really interesting to see what we define as freedom for ourselves. And are you ready to be completely responsible for yourself and the choices that you're making, as opposed to running and chasing, like you said, you know, what appears to be the victimizer, as opposed to strategizing for yourself and your life, because the system is never going to be in your corner. That, you know, is a lot of illusion around that, that you ultimately in the end have to determine how you're going to navigate around all of this.
It's an interesting thing to learn, that's for sure. I've had many years of learning how to live with other people, how to survive on people's couches, how to be subservient, how to feel like, my friendship was my currency, and I had to give up all personal goals or personal desires because I had no money, I had no life, I had no choices. But let me reemphasize how much I love this, okay? As I tell you about my homelessness, I don't want you to think that I'm discussing like some horrible scenario where I'm trying to survive. No, I was loving every minute of it. As a matter of fact, every year, spring came around right about now, you couldn't keep me in my seat. I'd jump in my van so fast, I'd quit my job, I'd cancel my rent, I would cancel everything and just go. I had no idea where I was going, where I was going to land, or what I was going to do, but there was nothing you could do to keep me in that house.
Was freedom. See, that was freedom, and that's the thing. You know how many people listen to that and they're panicking, because they cannot imagine doing that. Where's the security? That, you know, that's what a lot of people are looking for. Where's the security in that? Oh, you can't just take off like that. But for you, I think one of the important takeaways here is that it was choice. You chose. And same with everybody else. We are choosing more than we think that we are choosing. We choose. And it's easier to maybe place blame on the system or somebody else, but we have to look at the choices that we make. And you, for you, Freeman, it was a freedom, not having to be tied to any constructs then, right, to be tied. And you could just take off and do what, you know, whatever you wanted to do. So I think from that perspective, we need to see that, the choice to do that. I remember when I first decided years back to leave corporate America for 2003, actually. I mean, I actually fully left in 2004, but when I actually decided to leave corporate America, I remember not working in corporate America for 10 years because I ran my own business. I had a food business. Then things didn't work out so well. I didn't have a choice. I had to go back to work. In my mind, that was it. Didn't have a choice. I had a choice. I could continue to keep going further down, or I could go, you know what? I'm going to go back. So when I went back to corporate America, I knew that there were things that I needed to learn. There were some things that I needed to learn, discipline and some other things. So I knew consciously, and I knew that I would be there until it was over. It was school. That's how I looked at work. It's school. Everything you do is schooling. And I went, and then I was there for, I'd never worked anywhere that long before, because usually, you know, I'm like, okay, 6 months. Okay. I need to move on. I'm not feeling it here. And so I was there for a few years. And then I said to myself, man, you're getting comfortable with this paycheck. And other people would go, what? And I thought, you're getting comfortable with this paycheck. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, you can't get comfortable. It's time to move forward. Meaning the comfortable nature of a paycheck at the time in my thinking, it's still limiting me in terms of what I can do. Somebody else is still deciding how I can live based on, you know, how much I have. So I decided, you know what? Okay, I think I've been here long enough, and I feel like I've gotten some learning, some things that I needed to understand and cement. I'm going to write this resignation. I'm going to put it in my desk. And I just said to the greater part of myself, the more expansive part of myself, when it's time to turn this resignation in, let me know. And I don't know how long it was in the drawer, but it was in there for a while. And one day, it was the day, and I got that feeling to turn that resignation in right then. And I did. And they were kind of shocked that I was leaving. And right within hours, of a friend of mine who ran a holistic school, and she called me. She goes, you know, are you still interested in teaching lymphology, coming to teach? And I was like, yeah, but she had no idea I'd quit. So my point is that when I surrendered and I said to myself, what's the worst thing that could happen? Okay, you could end up in your car. And then I think, you know what? But you will live. My conclusion to everything is, okay, but I will live. So I trusted and I surrendered to that feeling that this was time. And then everything else started to line up. I'm not saying it was easy all along, but it started to line up. And I took that leap of faith. And then, you know, there I was. And then I did it again in 2007, not knowing how things were going to unfold, but I knew it was time for this next phase of my life. And then, of course, here I am now. So it really requires that kind of deep introspective and knowing who you are and what your truth is and really connecting with that deeper part of yourself. So no matter what appears to be going on out there in this supposed external world, you know that you're anchored. You know that you're anchored, and you know that you are tuned in and tapped in to a part of you that's beyond what I like to call this character that we play, the character of Sonia. that knows less about the bigger picture, but that part of me that supersedes this identity, that's the part of me that I am completely trusting because it sees around the corner. It sees everything. And I know this and I trust it. And that's where people have to go at this time.
That is the key ingredient. I had a phrase that I would say on the road, and it was a joke, really. It was, I would say, I ain't dead yet. And for me, that was the complete and total opposite, because my life couldn't have been more beautiful. But yet every day, everything continued, everything kept going. So the other thing that I had to do when I did fall into those moments of fear of, oh my God, I'm in the middle of the highway. I have no idea where I'm going, what I'm going to do. And then I would ask myself, am I okay right now? And this was huge, huge. I use this to this day. I look around me. I say, am I okay right now? I have shelter. I have food. I have gas. I have everything I need for right now. And that's all that matters.
That is key. I'm glad you said that, because that is a very big key component, because people don't realize that they live their lives based on speculations about the future. We spend our time living either in the past or in the future and not right now. And when you made that statement, what you've done, what you did is you bring yourself to this now, because that's all we ever have is now. We only have now. Next week, even when next week comes, it's always going to be now. I don't care, you know, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. You are always in the right now. So right now, and I give people this exercise as well, for when I go to bed and when I wake up in the morning. When I go to bed, if things, I've got some challenges, things that might have happened for the day or things that you might be concerned about, I lay in bed and I say to myself, this is so I don't take that information, that those challenges into dream time. And I like to refer to it as crossing that bridge, taking it across the bridge into the cycle of the next day. So I lay in bed and I go, okay, so what are you doing right now? I'm laying in bed. And you're here to sleep. Yes. So what are you doing? Okay. I'm just laying here until I fall asleep. And I keep my focus on the fact that I am just here right now. I am not into what happened earlier in the day. I am not into what could happen. I am here and this is what I'm actually doing. So you're telling the truth about the moment. In this moment, anything you could worry about has not happened, is not happening right now. And you don't know what's going to happen into the next moment. So that's what we need to do. And when we stay right here, right now, we don't build next week, the idea of next week, from the model of reality that we're creating in that moment when you are laying there worrying and speculating about the worst case scenario, things that could happen. Then you are building a story. Then you are opening a portal. You are allowing or producing then, or allowing a field of energy that will draw more of that to you. So that's why it's important to stay right here, right now, as opposed to the speculations of what could happen. And just anchor yourself in that feeling of, I'm going to be okay. And then also what I do is, and I used to do it a lot, I still do it on occasion, I will pull on a memory of the times, the most challenging times in my life, and remind myself, but you made it through. Here you are. Here you are. So that's what you do. You remember the moments when you had no idea how you were going to get through something. And here you are. Well, just as here you are, you will get through this moment as well. And stop listening or streaming the media brainwashing day in and day out. Stop. Any show, anything that you listen to that is streaming fear and panic, and you're coming away feeling like that, that's your sign that you need to stop.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. My brain gets caught up in the World Wide Web way too often. And a lot of times it's me just disgruntled about not getting the amount of respect that I believe I deserve by other peers in my business. And I get so caught up in it and I realize that my brain is just deep in the World Wide Web. It's not anywhere near where I'm at this moment. It's nowhere in my garden or my home or my music or any of the art and things that I could be doing. I'm busy inside this damn worldwide
story. It's just a story we tell, and that's all life is made up of is stories. These stories spin out one from the other and you keep spinning them out, and it's very easy to get pulled in. And I understand what you're saying about that feeling, and it is the idea of, you know, not getting enough respect from people, or they're not appreciating your work and all of that. What I have learned is this, that it's like those things, those ideas, that's really the character self that feels that way. And it's like you have to like shift out of that space. And what I realize anyway for me is that everything that I do, anything that I share in a workshop, webinar, or conference, really is ultimately for me. Nobody is forcing me or to come and share and speak.
Or even paying.
Or even, exactly.
You guys, you got to know that we don't get paid for these lectures. I just want to put that out there. We do all this because we love you. We love the world. We love the way things that we see. We see this other world that's just beaming with potential, like this whole life that could just organically erupt out of this epoch and bring us into this new world of true harmony with all life and everything. And so we do this just to, because we have to. We're not getting paid.
I think it's part of who you are. At least, yeah, that's how I feel. Is anything that I'm expressing is who I am. And I'm okay if someone is not interested. That's a place that I had to come to. It's okay if somebody is not interested, if somebody doesn't want to, be part of what I'm talking about, that's fine. And for me, I had to come to that place where it's okay, because in the end, I am living, I am alive, and I am continuing to share because I want to share, not because I think that people need me, yeah. Because I like to be clear about that, because I get, I used to get emails from people like that, there's so much and people need what I have to say. And I'm like, no, people don't need anything from me. However, they might hear what I'm saying and it resonates. So I'm not going to disillusion myself, because it's the quickest way to feel fear and beat down, because they're not acknowledging. Well, they don't have to acknowledge anything that I do. Quite honestly, nobody owes me anything. So what I do, I'm clear on that, is what I do. And, Freeman, yeah, when I do certain things, workshops and so on, and and you charge for it, you are working, and the people that are interested and really want it and see the value of it, of what you're offering, will pay for it, because it's an exchange, and we need to get that. It is an exchange. It is a balance. We might have qualms with this whole monetary system. I get it. But if it wasn't the kind of currency that we're using right now, we would still find a way to exchange. It's an energy exchange. We'd find a way to exchange with each other, because there's an appreciation, and it's just part of the science. It can't be one-sided. So it's part of the science of this beautiful exchange, and the value you apply to what you're offering, you have to be comfortable with it. So when I coach people, I tell them that. Do not apply a cost for your service if you are not comfortable with it, because people will not buy it. And this is my thing, Freeman. So I'm just telling your audience. And for those people who are business people or entrepreneurs or, any of that, let me tell you what I have learned over the years. What I have learned is that it really is not about me going, well, let me charge this much, you know, so that everybody can afford it or everybody can get in on it. Let me tell you, people will spend money on anything that they find value in. It is true. It's the bottom line of it. They will spend whatever on something that you and I may look at as they paid how much for that? This is how human beings are. They will pay for something that they value. So the question comes back to you is this, what do you think your, whatever it is, your service or product is worth? Are you comfortable with that? Because that's the people that you're going to draw to you. How do you think True Religion, Jeans, and all these companies, do you know what they do? They slap their symbols on the fabric and on the car, on all kinds of things. And in our minds, we now recognize that, wow, this is valuable because what, the pair of shoes is $800 or $1,200 or you know, or the car is $100,000. There is an implied value and importance. And that is the model those folks operate by. And the rest of the people have a different model of personal value. Believe me, that is a programming. There is a brainwashing involved there. So you have to determine truly what is your value to yourself. That comes first, not, oh, I'm not sure if people are going to be able to afford it. That's not it. It's you first, because we are learning as well. When we're putting out information, we are acquiring greater levels of knowledge and understanding as well on different levels. We're all part of this whole, you know, experiencing. So that's what I have learned in order to shift some of those programs, those outdated programs that are there. So rice, whether we're spending using rice as currency or, you know, or an exchange of some sort, bartering, doesn't matter. It's the value of that barter or the value that we've applied to what is being used as the currency.
And let's just state it, you are worth more than you think.
Absolutely.
Selling yourself short.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Because that's the implication. That's part of the programming too, though, is
to feel altruistic and that you have, yes, to give all your stuff away.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the two different set of rules, I like people to see the two different set of rules that are there. They're the rules that those who are in a certain level of wealth, particularly generational wealth, that they carry this program because it is generational. It's in their DNA. They'll be out of money and then they'll make more money again real quick because they have this program for it. Now, the other group of people have the program of them over there with money and me not, and my capability is not as great as theirs over there. So, you know, therefore I'm just going to go along with, you know, this is my paycheck. One of the things people say is, just living paycheck to paycheck, or just, you know, whatever they say, making that next dollar. It's the thinking. And this kind of programming, hear me people, is super essential. You know why it's very essential? Because it allows the folks that are on a different scale of economic thinking to continue to be on that different level of economic thinking, and that wealth can continue on that that level of inaccessibility. Then the programming, the rest of the masses are programmed with this inaccessible sort of thinking, and it keeps, you know, that's what keeps the divide, because you can't have wealthy people at different levels of wealth unless you have different levels of lack. So we have to understand this balance that is there. And again, it's not a good or bad thing. It's the way this reality works, particularly this matrix, this system, because it's polarized. You know, it's positive, it's negative, it's black, it's white, it's, you know, it's all of that. And so this polarization helps has helped for us to experience, you know, being happy or sad. Well, in order to be happy, okay, you've experienced sadness. In order to know, you know, wealth, well, somebody's got to be in lack. I mean, that's been the program. So we all have a choice to reevaluate where we're coming from, what our lives look like, and the generational programming that we're carrying from our families about money and about our own personal worth and all of that, to lay it all out. And there is the statement, know thyself. Know thyself encompasses all of this kind of knowing in order to get to an authentic you that is not based on what somebody else has told you that you have to be and what your limitations are.
Absolutely. I realize that I've literally said everything Tony Robbins ever said. And I've said it completely for free. As I told you, I didn't even know how to charge for my work for 10 years. I gave it all away. And honestly, when I listen to Tony Robbins, I find that I've actually lived the things that he's trying to express. And so my versions that I've given to my audience are much deeper than Tony Robbins, because he hasn't actually had to live that life. And so as I listen to Tony Robbins, he's getting $10,000 a ticket for the same information I'm getting jack squat for.
Right. And that was choice.
Yes,
right?
It was. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the power.
Well, that,
right,
and
there.
I didn't know how to, you know, I didn't know how to charge for what
you
I was
didn't
doing.
Know how to charge. And the reason why you didn't know how to charge is because you were running that program, the selfless program.
Right.
I am telling you. Yeah. I had to come to grips with that whole idea of selflessness. And it comes from religious programs. Even if you didn't go to church, those religious programs also run very deep. And this, you know, this idea of Jesus as this poor carpenter, which was he really poor? I mean, there's so many things here that have been drilled into us about money. You know, having money is a negative thing, and it really is a catalyst, because technically, Freeman, we are really masters, and we are really supposed to be able to produce things out of thin air, but because we had to experience this model of reality, this sort of this limitation model. I like to call it the level one human experience. But because we've had to do that, we have stepped away from our true ability to produce in that manner. And so the idea of money has been more of a catalyst, which supports the idea of what we think we can have and what we can't have, because we attach it to the money. We can only, well, if only I had the money, I could do this. And many times money has nothing to do with it, but it's the excuse. Money sort of gives us this excuse. Well, I want to start this business, but I need the money. So until I put more money together, then I'm going to do this. And, you know, that is a lot of times that is not the case. The thing is, what I know from experience, even when I did the documentary, The Business of Disease, well, I had no money. I didn't even know how to do a film. I mean, I had no money. I didn't know what it took, but I know I was going to do this. So my whole thing all my life, with all the things that I have done in my life as an entrepreneur, I simply start. I remember I owned a company called The Food Valet. I mean, this was the first Grubhub of its time. And this was, let me tell you how far back this was. This was back in 1993. I can show you newspaper clippings of it back then that ran in the Press Enterprise in San Diego County and in the Californian. And I had commercials. There was nothing like that that existed at that time. And I had places like Tony Roma. I even had some McDonald's at the time. And I remember when I first sat down with the owner of one of the McDonald's franchise, and I had no money. You know, I left my marriage and my business, my food business fell apart. I had a commercial kitchen then and wasn't there, but I like being in food. So I thought, oh, this doesn't exist. Let me do this. So this was an idea. So I sat down with him and he said to me, he said, how much money do you have to start this, to get this going? And I said to him, 10. And he said, okay, I meant $10.
Right.
And he said, because but since he doesn't think in terms of, you know, one decimal point here, he doesn't think in terms of that. He doesn't know that I meant $10. So he said, okay, well, that should, you know, be able to get you going. I had $10. So I managed to make it happen and pull this thing together. And was, you know, I had this and had the delivery service. I even used to deliver for Chili's, you know, so to watch some of these things, I mean, I was always ahead of, you know, the curve with stuff. I was delivering home cooked meals. I have write-ups on that and ads from back in the late 80s. So young, but I didn't want to work in corporate America anymore because I'm always trying to escape corporate America. Didn't want
absolutely.
So I'm like, what do I do that's good, that could really be done? Well, nobody was delivering home cooked meals. That was an idea. Oh my God, I this is a great idea. So once again, I fudge my way, and I'm at work, and I do a test. You know, back then we didn't have the computers like we do now. But I did a test of contacting, at the time it was Tri-City Hospital, I think it was Tri-City Hospital. And, I asked them about, you know, I guess their food stuff, whatever. Anyway, turns out that they had a day treatment center, and the hospital would normally try to prepare the food and take it over to the day treatment center. And when I offered them, when I told them what I had, and they thought I was in business already, they said, well, can you come in and talk? Because we would like to use your service. Now I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't really have a business yet. So I managed to fudge it together, go meet with them, and we had an agreement. And here I was. Suddenly, I'm quitting 2 weeks later. I'm going to be delivering food, you know, I'm going to be preparing these meals and I'm going to be delivering it to the day treatment center. Anyway, bottom line of it, moving forward, I ended up having to get a commercial kitchen because, you know, yeah, they found out you're cooking in your house. I had to have a commercial kitchen. So all of it came together. So I'm just telling people, you know, I am a master at having tried a lot of different things. And the one thing I know is, for me, the important thing is, Sonia, what do you want to do? What are you passionate about right now? I think of the money and how it's going to come later. And I tell you what, it somehow always comes. We are not taught this in school. We are taught backwards.
Yes.
And so now we have to tap into our master self. And all of these things that I'm talking about are like exercise programs. All of those things are just exercise programs so we can learn how to produce bigger things, how to manifest bigger things. But you have to start somewhere. You can't sit around just dreaming. You have to start somewhere. What do I want to do right now?
That is such good advice. And same for me, the television show, I actually had to pay to be on television. It wasn't the other way around. And, somehow every single month, every single season, I was able to stay in a home. I was able to keep the TV show going, and I had no idea how it was ever going to happen, but every month it worked. Right now I'm offering a free download of the Oracle Years. It's on my Twitter feed for anyone that wants to go grab it. It's typically a member's product that you get with the members. So members, you know, you have these 5 years of Oracle shows that no one's ever heard because they've never been on YouTube because it has music and commercials and you can't put any of that on YouTube. So I have about 4 or 5 years of shows that you've never heard.
That's wonderful. That's
yeah.
A wonderful opportunity to be able to download those. Yeah. I may put out. Yeah. Awesome.
At Freeman TV on Twitter, you can go and it seems like kind of a weird download, but it works. I tested it just to make sure everything was safe and good. But the the whole thing is it just kept going. And that's the I ain't dead yet philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. oh my God, this just keeps going and life keeps leaving in.
And look at how much you've learned. Look at how much you continue to learn.
Oh, good God.
Taking chances, you know?
I mean, gone through the ringer and all of that for sure. I had to learn how to build a members section. I had to learn how to create a magazine style book. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how, and I spent more time learning how to make the book than I did making the book, you know?
Like, oh, absolutely. Because I used to publish Sovereign Mind magazine.
Yeah.
So I totally get you on it. And it's an amazing learning opportunity. And all it's doing, again, is strengthening your ability to naturally produce. You just get stronger and stronger at it, and you keep trusting yourself, and you just keep being guided every step of the way. And not that we don't have moments where, you know, you get the demise, the doom and the gloom. I'm not saying that, but these moments remind you and help you to pick yourself up. I mean, you know, I've had my moment too, years back in 1992, also in, you know, leaving my husband and leaving it, being in my car for, you know, 11 days with two children and, you know, and having to emerge from that experience.
Right.
And to, you know, to this moment, to where I am right now. And the journey has been beautiful and incredible. No regrets on any of it, because right. every step of the way, as you know, Friedman, as you've been saying, every step of the way has led to this moment, and it can only get more magnificent.
I completely agree, 100%. And for those of you that are thinking about this new world without the authoritarian lockdown system of a technocracy, I want to emphasize that in my travels, and I traveled this country for over a decade in my van, in multiple vans, and even a school bus, without any Google or Yelp.
Yeah. How about that?
I had an atlas, I had a navigator, and I had my wits. But yep. when you rolled into a town, you had to figure it out. Yep. And in that way, you had to go meet people. You had to make friends. You had to get to the places of action and find
interact.
People and learn and interact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew where to go to eat. So, you know, it was a natural Yelp, right? A natural Google.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it all worked. I never needed it. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like to be able to roll into town and have Yelp and tell me where to go to eat. It's a lot easier, but it's not as much fun. And you're isolated. And that's what this whole thing is doing. Is isolating everyone, and that's the true motive here, really.
Well, it's isolating and fear and distrust. A lot of the a lot of what's happening, because you see it, you know, when you go out, people think, as my younger son was saying, because he, you know, the job that he has, he's like, this is so ridiculous. He's like, people are almost like scared to talk to you as if they're going to get the virus if like you're infected if they talk to you, because they equate social distancing with just not looking at you or talking to you at all, unless they're looking at you because you don't have a mask on, which is usually my case, unless they're looking at you. So it's, you know, it's this divide and the distrust. And my question was in this article too, is, you know, will that go away, you know, very, very quickly, or will some people be sort of programmed that way? Because, you know, you've had more than 21 days to create a habit, and that is a habit that's being created.
I got to throw in here, Sonia, that they had a commercial on TV, or it was a news article, I guess, a news story, where they've now invented doors that you can open with your wrist instead of your hand.
Yes.
So this shit ain't going away, man.
They're normal. Well, what is it? Absolutely. They're normalizing these behaviors. And so we're going to see, we'll probably turn people in if they're hugging, you know, or touching.
People were so quick to authority, right? That was the last point I wanted to get to in this hour, is how quickly people jumped into an authoritarian state of mind. And then how many times authority could have helped? And we've only got a few more minutes left in this section. I definitely want to get people to your information and all of that. But we'll get into this deeper in the second hour. But how quickly everybody jumped to that authority model and especially those in the suits, in their blue suits, where they could have been offering a mask to somebody instead of yanking them out of a bus by their leg, you know, like, here's a mask, sir, you know, yeah. Enjoy your day. If anybody was actually here, everything that we hear about, and we're going to talk about some of the ways words have changed and the meanings of things in the second hour, but they have put this entire care system in a war footing. And so everything is, we're at war with this virus. We're defeating this invisible scourge. We're, you know, every word of it is not care. We're taking
this
care of you.
This is about social obedience.
Yes.
Yeah. Social obedience.
And we're going to get deeper and deeper into that in the second hour. I want to thank everyone that that did come over and subscribe to my YouTube. It only took me 11 years to get 10,000 followers.
Oh, you're like me. It's taking me all this time, and I'm still at like barely touching 9,000.
It took me so long to get to 10,000. I'm like, come on. You know, you'd think 11 years of posting. With, I nearly have a tweet for each follower.
But it's crazy. That makes me kind of wonder. I've had people question it on my channel. They're like, I don't understand how you only have this many, but then you have people with, you know, serious millions of people, and it's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, I should have hundreds of thousands.
Oh yeah. Doubt. Oh yeah. I agree. I totally agree.
And let me say this for the audience. Mm-hmm. I consider my Twitter feed one of the most important things that I do. It gives you the stories that I believe you should be paying attention to at that moment, and the ideas and the thoughts and things of that. Rarely do I tweet my own opinion. I tweet what I feel is important. And so I want you to be in that field with me. I want you to be knowing where I'm at. So the only way, because I'm kicked off of everywhere else, is my Twitter feed. So Freeman TV on Twitter. Let's see if we can get it to 20,000 instead. And, you know, the other part of it is, of course, nobody gets the tweets. Even though I have 10,000 followers, there's still only 4 people that actually get them. So I don't know what to do about algorithms and all of that. But anyway, I'm very excited to finally have reached 10,000. Kind of, because I'm actually really disappointed. But what am I going to say? Follow me on Twitter, come over to freemantv.com. I need to say thank you to Steve for all the hard work he's put in for absolutely nothing. Steve gets absolutely nothing but me saying how much I love him on the show. So associate producer Steve Mercer, keeping this ball rolling. Please, if you have guest suggestions, ideas for the show, anything like that, producer Steve at freemantv.com. Let him know that you love him, because he's so kind and so good to keep working for just the love of it, as all of us do.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. That should cover all of my business. So the real Sonia Barrett.com is the website you want to go. Now, I would highly recommend taking Sonia on as a life coach, as a just a natural healer. She is a true mystic. Sonia and I, we go way back. We really do, a decade or more, conferences and all of that good stuff. Yep, and of course, you've been on the Free Zone.
Crazy stuff.
So what do you got going on right now?
Right now, what do I have going on? Well, I got all kinds of different little things going on. I do a free, what's called Reality Wednesday once a month. It's a free teleconference, and I've been doing that for a little while. And so, you know, you can just go on the website and subscribe to be part of that free monthly teleconference. And then I, do a members, webinar where we talk about all kinds of interesting things, and that's called the Expansion Portal. So we cover everything from, you know, teleportation to, you know, social obedience. We were doing that, discussing that yesterday, but we cover a lot of edgy information. And I have a workshop coming up, actually. And that will be May 2nd. And this is called, it's an extension of the natural science of the path inward, but this part of it is called Living the Life of the Character. and what it truly means to live the life of the character. It's a three-part series, the identity self, that part of you. And so you can find out more about that, but this is super duper edgy. Yeah, and I think for right now, that's it. And The Business of Disease, people, do check out the film. It came out some time, a few years back, but it's very relevant now. You can go to thebusinessofdisease.com to find out where it's playing. I know it's on demand, I think, on YouTube and, oh gosh, not Hulu. It's quite a number of places. It used to be on Amazon Prime, but do check it out. So I think I've covered that. Oh, and coaching, of course. You can talk to me about coaching, different coaching options that I have. And my coaching, of course, is definitely different and edgy, because this is what this is about, is for people who are really ready to take life into a more expansive area than an expansive way of living, according to all of what we've talked about today. So I'd love to chat with you.
Absolutely. Let's break the bonds and claim our destiny. It's that moment now in time where life has given us an opportunity and we can take it, but it requires us to go within and believe in ourselves, to know that you are true and right. And that's the key ingredient, is really having faith in yourself. And it's going to take some time, and we're all there, but we can see clearly what's coming as the isolation is pushing this Agenda 21, and we're going to move into human habitat zones. We just had Earth Day. I can't go off without mentioning that. And all the reports that were telling us how great the planet is without people. Yes. Welcome to Earth Day, where you no longer exist.
Oh my gosh.
So we're going to pick this up on the other side. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in and supporting my efforts. If you don't want to become a member and you just want to contribute $1 a month just to keep the show going, you can go to the donate page on freemantv.com and just click pay $1 for a month every month, and you know, help support these efforts. You can throw a donation there if you like, or you know, come and become a subscriber and get all of the data, all of the knowledge that is here. And I'm telling you, this show is so far ahead of the curve that if you go back 15 years, you're still going to be learning something that's going to matter to you today. I promise you that. So thank you all so much, and we will see you next week.